But you know what? If anybody do it, I would. All right. I want to say, first of all, thank you all for the opportunity to be able to come and be with you all. Everyone there, Livingstone sends their love, their greetings. They're praying for us this week. Somebody, I won't mention no names, when I came in or when they came in earlier tonight, said, "Brother, I've been praying for you." And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if anybody else has, but I'm glad that person has, for sure, because I need it. I told Brother Clint earlier, I'm nervous as cat on a hot tin roof, and I don't know why. Well, I do too, because I'm handling the Word of God. And that's a very serious thing. But anyway, if you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles with me tonight to Psalm chapter 85. Very simple message. I've been praying ever since Brother Clint asked me to come and preach what the Lord would have for me to bring to you this week. And He's very heavily laid this thought on my mind tonight. And the title of my message, if I could give it one, is "A Need to Realize What Is Needed." A need to realize what is needed. As I've thought about revival and what true revival is, it's a renewal. It is a restoration of life, if you will. It's a restoration of love and the power of God in the life of an individual who is a child of God. It's being made alive again. It's to be quickened, if you will. And I said to realize and recognize the need of what is needed. And so I want to read to you this psalm in its entirety, but there's a couple of verses that we're going to focus on tonight. So in Psalm chapter 85 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps." Wonderful reading of the Word of God and the things that are said here. So I'd like for us, for just a moment before we get into this, if you would, go with me to the Lord in a word of prayer, asking Him again to bless our services tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, that You have given me yet again to be able to come here, Lord, to a congregation of Your people, to one of Your churches, Lord, and deliver "Thus saith the Lord." I thank You for these messages that You've laid upon my heart, Lord, for the need of them. Lord, if there ever is anything that we need right now as Your people, it's to truly be revived. God, I pray that You would forgive us tonight of our failures and shortcomings. Lord, I pray that You would allow us, even myself, to leave outside the cares of this world, to leave outside thoughts and concerns that may weigh heavy upon our hearts. Lord, and let us tonight focus on You and You alone and what You would have for us. Lord, I pray that we've come tonight to do just that. I pray that we've come tonight to focus on You, not on man, not on even a service, but on You, Lord, because it is only from You that true revival comes. Lord, I pray tonight that You would do just that for us, that You would revive us again, that we might be able to rejoice in Thee. Go with us now and guide us. Lord, let everything that we say, everything that I say and do here tonight be honoring and glorifying unto You, Lord, first and foremost. And I pray that You would indeed touch and work in the hearts of Your people. I ask all these things in Your precious name. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought about this, for the clan asked me to come and preach the services this week, and this is one of my... And forgive me, don't mean anything by this against anyone, but this kind of is one of my pet peeves. People say, "Brother, come, we're going to have revival services this week." Let me tell you what we're having. We're not having revival services. We're having services in which we're praying for revival. Because only true revival comes from the Lord. True revival doesn't come from a service. True revival doesn't come from man. I can preach to you tonight till I'm blue in the face, and I cannot revive you. Only God can do that. And I'm going to tell you something, as honest as I can be about it, in this world in which we live in, it's sad to say, but we as God's people as a whole, as individuals and as churches, have gotten to a point where we need to be revived. I need to be revived. Folks, it's not something that you pray for once a year. It's not something that you have services for once a year. Reviving is something we ought to pray for every day. That the Lord would indeed revive us. That He would indeed light a fire within our hearts and cause us to have joy and to serve Him and to be His people and to do the things that He would have for us to do. And excitement, if you will, to serve God. Let me tell you what I don't see in the world in which we live in today, an excitement for the Lord. And let's just be honest about it. Maybe your church is perfect, and if it is, and you all don't need to be revived, by all means, when service is over with, tell me what your secret is. If you as an individual don't need to be revived tonight, by all means, when we leave here tonight, tell me what your secret is. I've prayed about this all week. I need to be revived tonight. Every night this week I need to be revived. I want the Lord to start a fire in me. I heard somebody preach a sermon here not too long ago. I can't remember who it was. But he was talking about being excited for the Lord. He said it's sad because all these other people that really don't have the truth, that really don't know the truth, they're the ones that are excited. Baptists who have the truth sit on their thumbs. Am I telling you to get up and run through the aisles and shout? No. But I want you to get excited for the Lord. I want you to be revived for the Lord tonight. I want to see God's people and His true churches be excited again to serve Him. I thought about what the Scripture says about restoring unto me the joy of my salvation. I thought about the night that I was saved, by the way, which was at Main Street Baptist Church some, 26 years ago? 26 years ago. Oh, the joy that I had in my heart. The excitement that I had. I can remember. I couldn't wait to get to Main Street Baptist Church. I couldn't wait to be among God's people. I couldn't wait to work for the Lord. Now, it's hard to get up and go to church on Sunday mornings, even as a pastor. So, you better be careful what you're saying. I'm just speaking the truth. Folks, this body is not what it used to be. It aches, it pains, it hurts. Sometimes I wake up in the mornings to go to church, or even at night when I go to work, and I think, do this. Hurt too bad. But oh, when I get over there and get away and get in the Word of God, the joy that fills my heart. And then I think, how foolish could I have been to think such things, knowing full well that when I came over here, the Lord was going to revive me. I want us tonight to be revived. This world that we live in is a vile and wicked place. I get it. A lot of you work in public places. I know I used to. But even though I don't, I'm out in the community, and the wickedness and the evil that goes on in the world can weigh down heavy upon us as God's people. I get it. It can get us into a rut, if you will, where serving the Lord doesn't excite us anymore. And that's what I'm praying that the Lord does this week, is revive us and excite us again to serve Him. And I thought of some examples that I could give you. I could think of one, and the only reason I thought about it is because I saw it the other day. It's kind of like the flowers that you see. They droop. They start to wilt. But through sun and rain and the help of the Lord, they're revived again. We're as people, as God's people, we're kind of like that. I get it. We get to the point to where we droop. We get to the point where things weigh heavy upon us. But you know what? Through the help of our brothers and sisters of Christ, and please understand this, because we're to be encouraging one another in all of this. Through the help of God, God will revive us from our drooping, because that's where we've got to today as the Lord's people, as sad as it may be. We begin to droop. We have begun to wither in our service and love for the Lord. And that's sad, especially when we consider all that the Lord has done for us. Most of all, that He sent His Son to die on the cross, to shed His blood to forgive us of our sins. That ought to cause us to have a joy beyond joy. Folks, I know that there are probably many that are going to say, I don't need reviving tonight. But the fact of the matter is, we all need, as God's people, to be revived. And so there's three things tonight that I want to share with you. I told you that the title of my message was A Need to Realize What is Needed. And the very first thing that we need to do is we need to confess that we're in need of revival. Because there's a lot of people that don't believe they need revival. Maybe you came tonight thinking, well, this is just another set of services that we're going to go hear Brother Coffee preach after hearing who's coming. I'm surprised he's come at all. But anyway, I'm satisfied that some may even come to services and think we're just going to services. We don't need to be revived tonight, but we need to confess our need for revival. People will say, I'm good. I don't need to be revived. But we need to be revived as God's people. I'm going to talk to you just real quick about the need for revival before I move on, because not only is there a need for revival among us, there's a need for revival in our land in which we live in today. There is a multitude of people that are in this world that are lost and dying and going to hell. You say, what's that got to do with revival? That's the reviving that needs to come from God in our country, in our nation right now. People need to be made alive. And it's up to us as God's people to share the truth. It's up to us as God's people to pray for that reviving. I have children that are lost. I have acquaintances that are lost. I have friends and family members that are lost. And I pray every day, God, make them alive. Show them the truth. Save them. Make them your own. Folks, there's a need for revival in our world today. And we as God's people need to be praying for it. Are you? Are we? There may even be some here tonight. I know there are. That are lost, dying, going to hell, that needs to hear the reviving message of Jesus Christ. Listen, that kind of revival, any kind of revival, can only be brought by God, but the revival they need to hear can only be brought through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, you're here tonight, that's the reviving that you need to hear, that Jesus Christ did in fact come and die on the cross and shed His precious blood. The things that He suffered, the things that He endured, and He was nailed to the cross, listen, for the sins of the lost. Somebody says, you're going to go down there and you're going to preach the gospel message in the middle of a revival. Absolutely. Amen. And here's why. Gospel message don't get preached enough. You can't just throw the gospel message into them. Why not? Let me tell you something. That's a reviving that needs to go on right now that we as God's people need to pray for. Listen, I pray every day my children get saved. I pray every day that the Lord saves them. It's a reviving that needs to come about that we need to pray for. You're here tonight, repent. That's what the Bible says. And this is one of the things that one of the places that I think that we mess up on, and I don't mean to chase rabbits here, but I believe that we explain, I don't know if that's a good word, explain away the gospel. Folks, the Bible says all men everywhere to repent. I don't know who God's elect are. If you're here tonight and lost, repent. Brother, my church says, if you can believe, believe. And that's what I want to say tonight. If you're here and you're lost and you can believe, believe.
Amen.
Confess your sins before God and ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer for that revival to happen tonight, this very week even. That's not the only reviving that needs to take place. Reviving in the church needs to take place. I heard somebody say this the other day, and it saddened me that the Lord's churches, then this is what he said, the ones that claim to be the Lord's churches are more dead than any other church out there. And as sad as it may seem, that's what it appears like. Those of us who claim to be the Lord's true churches, those of us who claim to be God's children, it seems like we keep it all in here. And then what's in here is not exciting. It's just let me tell you what's happened. And I've used this quite often. I knew this was going to come in handy. I've used this quite often. Let me tell you what's happened in the Lord's churches, among the Lord's people. Our service to the Lord has become like this. Well, I'm a child of God. Lord saves me, it's Sunday morning, I gotta get up and go to church. Y'all hurry up and get up, we gotta go to church. Well, I gotta go here and preach this message, or I gotta go there and preach this service, or I gotta go here and do that, or I'm a child of God, I've gotta read my Bible, I've gotta study my Bible, I've gotta pray. That's what our service has become like today. You say, what's wrong with that? Because it shouldn't be I've got to, it should be I get to.
Right.
Let me ask, are you excited that you've got to come to church tonight? Somebody said to me last week, well, it looks like you got to go down and preach Brother revival for Brother Clint. I said, no, I don't. So I get to. We ought to be excited to read the Bible. We ought to be praising God because we even have the Word of God to read. We ought to say, I get to go to church. I get to pray. I get to study. I get to worship. I get to go to church. I get to do this. Not I've got to. Church service of the Lord's people has become nothing more than a card punch nowadays. And brother, as sad as it may sound, some of God's men have become that way. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been that way for me a couple times. I have to be honest about it. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I am. I need to be revived just as everybody else does. Where's the excitement for the Lord? Why has it become such a difficult thing to serve and worship the Lord? But I'll tell you what it is. We've allowed the world to creep in and take away the joy of our salvation. Somebody says, Satan made you do it. No, you made you do it. You allowed you to do it. You know it was wrong, if that's a word. I guess that's a word, no. I didn't do what real well in school. But the word no, you know it was wrong. You did it willingly. You were the one that allowed the world to creep in and take away your joy. I don't mean to get sidetracked, but you hear preachers all the time that are preaching and they're saying, amen, amen, begging for amen. Let me tell you, we shouldn't have to ask. We shouldn't have to ask because we as God's people should be excited enough that when the word of the Lord is being preached and something said is true, we ought to amen it. We've let the world creep in and steal our joy. Listen, folks, Satan is against the Lord's churches. He wants to see us fail. He wants to see us get in the ruts that we get into. He doesn't want to see us succeed. And he definitely doesn't want to see us have joy in serving the Lord.
Right.
And he definitely doesn't want us to be revived this week. Did you come tonight expecting revival? I just want to ask you that question, but I want you to sit and very seriously consider it tonight. Did you come expecting revival? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that question needs to be asked. Listen, here's a big one. Not only do our churches need to be revived, but we need to be revived as God's people. How powerless are we as God's people from time to time because we let the world render us powerless? How often do we fail as individual children of God? How often are our testimonies not productive like they ought to be? How often are our testimonies ineffective because we've let the world creep in and destroy our joy? How little do we pray? How little do we study? How little do we read the Word of God because we've let the world and our own selfish desires get in the way of serving God? How often is our service to the Lord half-hearted rather than wholehearted? How often do we truly worship the Lord and serve Him rather than just going through the motions? I get to serve God. I get to worship the Lord. Folks, we got to sing that beautiful song that the brother sang first off. We got to sing every song that we've sang tonight. We get to read the Bible. And I don't mean to go back over these things, but we as individuals, we as children of God, even we as called men of God, need to be revived tonight. We need to be revived tonight, and I know I was going to do that. I flipped too quick. The Lord's people as a whole, not just here, but those that are watching, our church, your church, need to be revived tonight, whether they think they do or not. So let me ask you in that, do you see the need for revival tonight? Or is it just another word to you? Now listen, not only do we need to be revived, not only do we need to see and understand our need for revival, but we need to admit the possibility of revival. Let me tell you something. If revival can come, God will send it. God can revive if He chooses to. Let me tell you what I think is wrong here. The psalmist prays this in his writing here in verse 6, says, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice for thee?" There's not enough rejoicing in the Lord going on. We're going to look at that here just in a moment. But in verse 5 he says, "Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations?" Listen to me, I meant to make mention of this a minute ago. I believe that some of the things that we're seeing in the world today is God pouring out His wrath because He's angry with us. Because we of His children are failing Him. How long are we going to allow that to go on? And in that, do we believe that there's a possibility? I believe that God can revive each and every one of us tonight if He chooses to do so. Yes. Do Do you believe God can send a revival? Did you come tonight and will you come the rest of the night expecting revival? Let me tell you something. One time we were getting ready to have, it might have been when you came up and preached for us, I can't remember. Mindy will nod if it was. I had made mention about receiving revival and receiving blessing. And did you believe that God could send revival and blessing? And I said, if you do, you need to bring your basket when you come to church so that you can fill that up with blessing and revival. And lo and behold, the very first night, I think it was when you came, but the very first night, a lady in the back brought a basket to church and set it under the pew in front of her. And every time she was blessed by the Word of God, she would write it down and put it in the back. How many of us come expecting revival and blessing to the house of God like that? Not just tonight. Every Sunday, every time the door is open. Folks, we need to be revived. And do you believe that God can send that revival? Some of you may have heard this, and I just thought about it when I was preaching this, but the story about the church that prayed for rain. And I may get it way wrong, but no rain. No rain for a long time. The church decided they were going to get together and pray for rain. They all come on Wednesday night praying for rain. Pastors at the back door shaking hands for everybody that comes in. And lo and behold, this one man comes in carrying an umbrella. The pastor said, what in the world are you doing? He said, didn't we gather to pray for rain? Yep. He said, I believe God's going to cause it to rain. Lo and behold, by the time they were finished, it was pouring buckets. God can bring us revival tonight if we come believing and expecting and being faithful. Do you believe that? Listen, God's promises prove that God can send revival. Turn with me, if you will, very quickly to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and most of you may even know this by heart. We have it hanging up at our church, but I want you to understand something. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 says this, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is a promise to God that if His people will humble themselves before Him, believing and praying and confessing their sins and seeking forgiveness and turning away from them, then He'll send a revival.
Amen.
He'll send the healing that we need. Do you believe that? Here's the problem. I don't believe that we believe it enough to do it. Look with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 3, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Bible says that if we'll pray, that if we'll call upon the name of God, believing, that if we'll do what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, that He will do great and mighty things. Do you believe tonight with your heart that God can do great and mighty things this week, regardless of who stands before you? Look with me one last place, if you go to the book of Malachi. Sorry, Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm not going to preach to you about bringing tithes. What I am going to preach to you is about this. Tithe God your time this week and come expecting a revival. Come believing. Come confessing your sins before Him. Come with a pure and clean heart and expect revival from God. And watch to see if you don't pour out so many blessings these walls can hold.
Amen.
The Lord can do great and mighty things. The question is, how have we and will we come this week expecting those great and mighty things? That revival that we so need. Now here's the last thing. We need to recognize the source of revival. You see, you've already told us about the source of revival. I'm going to tell you again. Where does revival come from? Look with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 85 again. And let's look at what the psalmist says. Verse 6, he says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? What does he say? He says, wilt thou. Who's he speaking of? God. He's praying to God and he's asking God to do great and mighty things. Look, if you go back and you look at it again from verses 1 through verse 3, he tells of great things that God has done. And he knows and expects that God can do even greater things. And that's why he prays, Lord, will you not revive us again that we may be able to rejoice in thee? Revival can only come from God. Cannot, does not come from anything we do. Folks, let me tell you something. Revival doesn't come in you because of an emotion.
Right.
You can run up and down the aisles all you want to. You can shake and stomp and snort all you want to. It's not going to bring you revival. Revival doesn't come through special services. Well, that's what we're having this week. I get that. But revival's not going to come through that. Revival doesn't come from a man. I can't give you revival.
Thank you.
God is the only one that can send revival. And are you seeking Him to send that revival? I pray that you've not come tonight looking to me, but looking to God.
I pray that when you came in the door, you weren't thinking about who was preaching. You were thinking about what was going to be preached. The Word of God and God alone.
Thank you.
Because if we've come looking at or looking for any other thing, I want to be revived. I want God's people to be revived tonight. I pray that we have come looking for that revival. Listen, because if we have come looking for that revival, God promises, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if we're faithful and that if we seek Him and we seek repentance, that He will. That's a promise, folks. God doesn't break His promises. But we got to do something to get it. And that's repent of our sins, remove the things that are in our lives that hinder us from having revival. Remove the things that are in our lives that hinder us from seeking God so that we might receive the revival and know that it only comes from Him. Look with me, if you will, on this place to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63 says, verse 5, it says this, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." My expectation is from Him. You don't know how many people I hear, and I know you do, talk about how, oh, that man's a great preacher, that man does great things. No, God uses that man to do great things if he's what God called him to be. It's God that sends revival. It's God that with whom our expectation should be. He's the one that we should expect things from, not man. Look back over Psalm chapter 85 with me again very quickly. Verse 5 says this again, "Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" Verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice?" And he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" That word "again" actually means to be restored again or to be returned again. And I believe that that's what needs to happen with God's people this week, is we need to be restored to where we once were with the Lord and returned to where we need to be with the Lord rather than where we actually are. He says that we might rejoice in thee. I love the concordance's definition of this: rejoice. Brighten up. Be happy. Folks, we need to brighten up. We need God to brighten us up. Listen, I tell this to Livingstone all the time. They probably get tired of hearing me say it. But as one of the Lord's churches and as the Lord's people, when they look at us, they ought to say, "Man, what is that they've got and why are they so happy? And I want some of it."
Amen.
But we got to be revived in order to be able to do that. If we can't show it in here, we're definitely not going to show it out there. If we're not revived as a church, if we're not revived as individuals, being brightened up and being happy in Jesus, nobody's going to know it because it's not going to show in our lives. Stop the gloom and doom. Be happy in Jesus. Be revived again that the people outside might look at us and wonder what it is that we have. Bible says in 51, Psalm 51, 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." Oh, that joy. How many of you remember tonight the joy you had when the Lord saved you? That would be the joy that we walk out of here with this week. That the Lord will revive us in such a manner that joy that it can't help but be seen by people
of the joy that is in us because of what God has done. Listen. Let me tell you what God has done for me and why I'm so joyful over it. He forgave a filthy sinner. Such as myself, and I don't have to stand up here and tell you all the things that I've done in my life, but let me tell you something. I can make the statement that Paul made when he said that he was the chiefest of sinners. I'm probably the chiefest of chiefest. I've done things that my mama and my daddy and everybody else has looked at me and said, it's 1,001 wonders you ain't in jail or under it. But 26 years ago, the Lord grabbed a hold of me and said, you no longer belong to you. You belong to me. And I cried out unto Him to forgive me, and He saved me that night and made me His own. Have I been perfect ever since then? No. No, I haven't. But I can tell you something that I have joy in tonight. I no longer have to worry about standing before God, a sinner condemned to hell, because I have eternal life through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My sins have been forgiven. And if that's not enough to revive us tonight as God's people, then we need to shut the doors and forget about it. That itself, regardless of everything else that I have said tonight, the fact that we are blood-bought, born-again believers whose sins have been forgiven, who have eternal life, who one day is going to see Jesus Christ step out on the clouds and say, come up hither, and we're going to go. That ought to light a fire under us like nothing else can. But does it? We ought to go forth from this place tonight singing praises unto God because of the joy that He has bestowed upon us, because of the joy that He has placed within our hearts as children of God. So let me ask you, I don't know what time I started, but at any rate, let me ask you, do you understand a little bit now the need for revival tonight? Not just in the world, but in here and in our own hearts. Do you understand tonight that we need to confess that need before God? Lord, I need... Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. Worry about you first. Because that's where it's got to start. Right here. Say, Lord, I need You to revive me tonight and this week. Through Your Word, I need You to revive me. I need You to make me alive again to where I don't sit around like this the whole time. And I'm not saying that because you all are right now, but I've seen it. Sing it. Lord, I need You to revive me tonight. Child of God ought not be able to hold in the joy. Child of God ought to be revived to such a point that we shout from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you come tonight expecting God to revive you? The only one that can. Do you understand that it only comes from Him? I pray if you didn't, you do now. And I pray that if we do, that each and every individual that's in here tonight, that as a child of God will pray, God, revive me, that I might show forth Your love to the world like all. To revive me that I ought to give You the worship and the praise and the service that You deserve. Revive me tonight in such a way that when I go out into the world and outside, the people look at me and say, what in the world are you so happy about? That others might see us and want to rejoice in the Lord because of our joy and our happiness in Him. We look tonight at the need. A little sneak peek, not to give anything away. Tomorrow night we're going to start looking at steps that need to be taken to cause those needs to come about, and then how we might rejoice in the results. I pray that before the week's over, we're rejoicing in the results of a true revival. Maybe even tonight. Maybe even right now. The Lord's dealing with your heart. Go to Him. Make it right. Ask Him to revive. Ask Him to make you alive again. Ask Him to set you on fire and light a fire within you that can't be quenched. That's my prayer. That's what I've been praying ever since Brother Clint asked me to come preach.
Lord, we need revival. I need it. I know they need it. I didn't mean that in a bad way. I mean all of us. And I pray that that's just what happens. Brother, I pray the Lord set me and you on fire tonight in such a manner that we just can't hold it no more. And I pray that He would set our churches on fire where they can't hold it no more, that we might rejoice, truly rejoice in the Lord and serve Him with the best of our ability because of the joy that we have in our heart, because of the desire that we have to serve the God who loved us and left us in His own Son to die on the cross. Listen, He didn't have to. I think that over and over. God could have rightly and justly said, nope. That'd have been the end of it. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Praise God. That ought to revive us right there. I didn't deserve any of it, but because of His love for me, because of His mercy and grace, He saved me and made me a child of God. Listen, and yes, He expects me to serve Him with joy, but it ought to be my desire to serve Him with joy. When we get to the point where there's no joy, we need to ask God to revive us. And I believe that's where we are. Come this week. Leave tonight, go home and pray. If you weren't revived tonight, go home and pray. Lord, revive me. Lord, revive the church. Lord, revive those people that are watching. Make those people that are lost and undone alive, that they know You saved them, and make them Your own, that there might be a great revival in this land as well. Because the Lord promises that if we do that, He will revive. I'm coming expecting to see the Lord revive me and you this week. Pray with me. Pray with me. That we truly, as the Lord's people and as the Lord's churches, might be revived so that we might rejoice in the Lord again like we ought to.
Let's all stand. Brother, if you bring us something.
Page
260
in the green book.
If you have a need tonight of the Lord, we invite you to come. Page 260.
260.